Welcome to Word Balloon, the comic book conversation show. This is John Sundress. Today, we're speaking with Scott Aukerman of Comedy Death Ray Radio. What's Comedy Death Ray Radio? Well, then you're not listening to comedy podcasts because it's really one of the best out there. Comedy Death Ray Radio features comedians from San Francisco and L.A., where you'll hear comedians being interviewed but also performing in freeform sketches. It's a lot of fun, and a lot of big names show up for Comedy Death Ray. People like Patton Oswalt, Thomas Lennon, Saturday Night Live alums, and a bunch of new stars that you've never heard of, but by the end, you'll want to hear more of them. Scott's bringing a group of them to C2E2 this week, and they'll be doing a live performance on Friday night. We'll be talking about that later on in the show. Now, you'll want to stick around because after the interview with Scott, I'm going to have some great listener voicemails that we've gotten in the last couple days, and also I'm going to give you the rundown of our schedule at C2E2, because big things are happening at my table in Podcast Alley, plus the panels that I'm going to be on, and a chance for you to win some prizes and to pick up some Word Balloon merchandise. That's all coming up in this episode of Word Balloon. It's brought to you today by C2E2, the Chicago Comics and Entertainment Expo that's happening this weekend at McCormick Place, March 18th through the 20th. Now, we've been talking about it for weeks. It's almost here, just days away, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And Comedy Death Ray is a big part of the live entertainment that's happening at C2E2. In addition, Chris Hemsworth, the guy who's playing Thor and also played Captain Kirk's father in the Star Trek movie by J.J. Abrams, he's going to have a live question and answer session on Saturday. Rick Bayless, the wonderful chef, is coming to C2E2 and combining food and comics in a great panel where C.B. Cebulski and Ron Richards from iFanboy will be there to join him. I'll be part of the podcasting panel on Friday night at 6:30, along with friends from iFanboy, Around Comics, 11 O'Clock Comics, Comic Geek Speak, and Raging Bullets, and I believe the Comic Queers are all going to be involved as well in the podcasting panel. Plus, great all-star people that you're going to want to see from the world of comics: Matt Fraction, Brian Bendis, Adam Hughes, Gail Simone, Gene Ha, Jeff Loeb, Scotty Young, Tim Seeley, Mike Norton, a large artist alley. Wonderful publishers are showing up as well. Great panels all weekend long. It's going to be a great show. And again, it's happening the 18th through the 20th. It's C2E2. Now, for ticket information, all you have to do is go to C2E2.com. But do us a favor. Make sure if you're in the tri-state area, there's no excuse for showing up, because it's going to be a great weekend of entertainment. C2E2, this weekend, the 18th through the 20th, downtown Chicago at McCormick Place. I'm very pleased to be talking with Scott. Is it Aukerman or Aukerman? What's the best way to say it?
It is Aukerman.
There we go.
Question you could have asked before the tape was rolling.
This is true. You know, and shame on me. You know, I'm the radio
guy. Now
you're
embarrassing me.
And actually myself. Let's be more honest. No, it's a pleasure to talk to you, because I've enjoyed your products that have come from AST, and really love Comedy Death Ray Radio. And I'm curious about the beginnings of Comedy Death Ray and AST. Did this all come from a message board, a comedian's message board?
You know, AST is something that I don't really know the origins of it, but I think it started around when the new millennium started or something.
Okay.
But the show, the Comedy Death Ray show, it started as a live show that my partner, BJ Porter, started back in 2002, and we've done it every Tuesday night since then, so it's been 8 years. And about a year ago, I started doing a podcast for the radio, sort of based using a lot of the people that I use in the stand-up show, and that's what Comedy Death Ray Radio is, sort of an offshoot of it.
For me, it's like listening to when there were, because actually I don't think there are that many spoken word radio shows left anymore, where, you know, it's like a rock station and they take a break from the music and a comedian comes in and you really have a lot of fun for a half hour, sometimes even longer. And the great thing about Comedy Death Ray is it's all of that every week. And, you know, nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of unique to, I mean, it's on indie1031.com as well as being a podcast. And, yeah, it's really interesting to kind of, you know, they play just like indie rock most of the week. And then all of a sudden you have an insane hour of comedians.
It reminds me of, you know, early FM. You know, I mean, I'm old enough to remember when FM was this novelty channel and stuff. And, you know,
I'm old enough to remember AM.
There you go. Well, and this is where all the experimentation of cool radio was happening, as opposed to just, hey, man, we're just going to play an entire album side of the Santana album.
We do that a lot on the podcast. We just play an entire side of Santana. In fact, that's what we mainly do.
Okay.
So I don't want to give people the impression that this is a comedy program at all. It's mainly a Santana podcast.
Ah, well, fantastic. Well, let's talk about Winning, one of my personal favorites of Santana. The very interesting thing is everybody seems to come on your show. I mean, SNL alum and, the San Francisco comedians, the L.A. comedians. It's amazing the breadth of comedians that all seem to want to come on beyond the people that are connected to the website.
Yeah, it's that's kind of the good part about doing a live show every week. I mean, I've been doing this live show for 8 years and, don't get paid for it or anything, but the great part of it is a lot of comedians come through and do the show. So I've just kind of developed friendships with a lot of people over the years. So pretty much anyone who's been on the radio show is just because I happen to know them personally.
Cool.
I don't really have a great booking process other than just calling people up and saying, hey, do you want to do this show? But it's been really nice that, I've had anywhere from people, who are on SNL currently, like Fred Armisen, to people who used to be on SNL, like Kevin Nealon and Lorraine Newman, to, people who are in movies right now, like Ben Stiller, and, down to kind of unknown comedians that people wouldn't really know all that well.
And a lot of people doing great characters as well. And who does the... And forgive me, I'm blanking on the name of the real person that has that great Southern accent. And
Barack Hussein Obama.
Yes, that's exactly right. Our president. Yes. No. The guy.
Oh, Huell Howser.
Huell Howser. Exactly.
A Southern accent. That's comedian James Adomian, who does a lot of characters on the show. He does Huell Howser and Jesse Ventura and Christopher Hitchens and Paul Giamatti, and he's this amazing impressionist. And, yeah, a lot of times on the show we'll have people like him or Paul F. Tompkins or John Daly, Nick Kroll, Paul Scheer coming out and doing characters who are really bizarre and kind of interrupt the flow of the show, supposedly.
It seems like you guys and is it WFMU or I'm blanking on the
it's called the best show on WFMU.
There you go. Exactly. It seems like you guys are the two bi-coastal comedy shows.
That's what we try to do. We try to cover both of the coasts. that's what our coverage area is. I just go around making sure everything's cool over here on the West Coast.
Do you?
And he's been covering the East Coast for quite a long time. So yeah. We got it all covered.
Do you guys travel with the show? I mean, it seems like there are shows sometimes that go between San Francisco and Los Angeles. But
yeah, I do. I do some live ones every once in a while. We just put up a live show that I did in Chicago a couple of months ago, up for sale on the site, which had Bob Odenkirk and the Flight of the Conchords, Kristen Schaal, and some other people on it. So yeah, I'll do some occasional live shows out there and tape them, and then we'll put them up on the site.
I just find the whole internet comedy connection very fascinating because, I mean, I'm a longtime Comedy Record fan. And, growing up, I raided my parents' collection and would listen to these great recordings from Mr. Kelly's and, sets from Vegas and stuff. And, I really did kind of grow up through that transition from the old nightclub guys and the Shelley Bermans and Bob Newharts to the Robert Kleins and George Carlins and all the early 70s guys. So
that's how you used to be able to see, because, a lot of people can't see live comedy, especially if you're growing up. I mean, even me, I grew up in Orange County, which is not that far away from Los Angeles. But, I would listen to old albums like The 2,000-Year-Old Man or Bill Cosby himself. And you would just kind of imagine being there, because you never really had the chance to ever see these guys. And there wasn't a lot of comedy specials on TV, especially if you didn't have HBO. So it really kind of transported you into another place that you weren't able to visit unless you listened to these records.
And airplay, also radio airplay, really died out. I mean, it seems like Cheech and Chong were, they kind of revived things again. And it was interesting. Yeah. I noticed with the DVD that just came out, the retrospective of their career, they spent a little time talking about how Lou Adler, an A&R guy for music and stuff, would really shop their bits around kind of in the same way that he would shop around, hits for top 40 stations.
Yeah, you know, it happens every once in a while. Like, a grassroots thing will come out. Like, I remember back in probably 1991 or so when, like, all your friends were talking about the Jerky Boys.
Yep.
And would, you know, I remember when my friend first played me that in his truck, we were driving. He's like, oh, you got to hear this. And he put in the CD. And, you know, they became a sensation just from word of mouth. I almost said weird of mouth, which kind of applies to the topic. But,
sure.
Yeah, you know, it kind of, Comedy Records have always been, you know, sort of spotty of their popularity over the years. You know, the 60s were a really fertile ground for them, and the 70s with Pryor and Carlin and stuff. But, you know, since then, it's been kind of spotty with what gets popular, which is why it's so exciting kind of now to be in the internet world.
Yeah, and it just, there was that dead period where certainly, I guess, cable filled the void. But mm-hmm. but now the great thing is with, you know, YouTube and also things like your program as well and The Big Show, this is great that everyone is able to kind of find new outlets to kind of get word of mouth out and, you know, grow an audience and everything. I mean, that's what I find interesting about your guys' show. And again, it seems like AST kind of grew and had its audience because these comedians were all at this message board and stuff. And I don't know whose idea it was to start recording and making CDs of these comedian sets.
Yeah, those guys, they, you know, they had a really popular message board that was devoted to mainly the L.A. comedy scene. And then they decided to start making CDs, which, you know, all the CDs they put out have been really great, from Paul F. Tompkins to Matt Bronger to Kyle Kinane. They've been really awesome CDs. So, you know, and it's just kind of an exciting time where you don't need to spend a lot of money to get product out there and to get people to listen. You don't feel like you're in a vacuum anymore. You know, it's really nice to know exactly how many people are listening to you, and they send you nice messages or they send you horrible messages. but, you know, it's really nice to hear the feedback, whereas before, I think, you know, you used to put out a comedy record and it would just feel like you'd worked so hard on something which no one ever bought, especially if it failed. But, you know, failure in selling an album is actually success in a podcast.
It's true. Yeah, you only got 4,000 units. Well, you know, in podcast terms, that's a goldmine. I understand. Man.
Yeah, I think our record, the Comedy Death Ray record, like we sold a shockingly low amount. I mean, I would say maybe 2,000 records or something. But the podcast, the Comedy Death Ray Radio, does, you know, many, many, many more times that. So
fantastic.
You know, maybe it's because it's free, but, it, you know, it's really nice to have the technology kind of be caught up with what comedians want to put out there right now.
Well, and the shows themselves, I mean, you know, is it really free form? I mean, have you guys reached a kind of formula? You know, are people coming with, you know, material ready to test, or, you know, does it just,
you know,
kind of organically
when
happen?
When I started, I thought it was going to be just a conversation, and then it merged into more of a comedy program because no one's doing that. I kind of felt the void of people actually, like, you know, there's a lot of comedy podcasts out there with people talking about comedy, but there's not a lot where people actually do it. So that's what I wanted to do with my show, is actually have people doing what they do best, you know, doing these characters or doing these bits. So, you know, when you say, do we have a formula, I always kind of try to reject a formula and try to change it up a little bit. But and it is really free form. I mean, if you knew how little planning goes into the show, it would be kind of embarrassing with how popular it is. But, you know, it's we really, that's what I try to do with my show is we actually try hard.
And how did you fall into you know, doing the show with these guys?
You know, I was doing bits on the morning show at Indy 103.1, and I was doing a lot of character work. I would call in to the morning show and do like American Idol recaps or do Robin Williams impressions and stuff like that. And when they went off the air, they went off terrestrial radio. Now they're just internet only.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they couldn't afford to pay any DJs. And so I came in and said, well, I'd like to do a show, and I'll do it for free, which was exactly the right price to them. And so, yeah, they just kind of took a chance on me, gave me a month-long chance, and it quickly evolved into their most popular show.
That's fantastic. Now, and you came with these comedy connections already, I'm assuming.
Yeah, you know, they told me to really front-load it and make sure that I had great guests in the first month, during my trial month. So, you know, in my first month, I had Kevin Nealon, Aziz Ansari, Rob Hubel, Tom Lennon. I think those were my first two shows, maybe. So they quickly saw, oh, wait a minute, we've been trying to get these people on the morning show forever, and they can't come by, but, you know, I could get them to come down pretty easily.
And what is your day gig other than, you know, as you say, you started on terrestrial radio, but what do you do now when you're not doing
comedy? Mainly I'm a writer and occasional performer on stuff. I write a lot of TV and movies that never get made and never get seen.
Well, as long as they pay you, that's the important thing. I know that story a lot on some of the other guys that I interview, so that's okay.
Yeah, it's been, you know, I mean, some of the stuff I do gets out there. I mean, most notably, I started on the HBO show, Mr. Show.
Awesome.
And then lately I've been doing these things called, producing and directing these internet videos called Between Two Ferns with Zach Galifianakis.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. I know that video. I didn't realize you were connected with that. Fantastic,
yes.
Man. That's very cool.
So, you know, I do that kind of stuff, and that's why I was kind of able to do this show for free, is because, you know, it's not my main source of income.
Understood. That's cool. I know you're a comic book fan. You must be, because, or I shouldn't presuppose. I know Gail Simone did your guy's show, and she was all excited about it when she was.
Yeah, definitely. I am a big comic book fan. I'm out there every Wednesday.
Attaboy.
At the local LCS.
What story?
Make my list. I go to Diamond shipping lists and figure out what I'm going to get.
Fantastic. What store do you go to?
I go to DJ's Universal Comics on Ventura in Studio City.
Outstanding. Very, very cool.
Shout out to him. Shout out to Kat. And, I had Gail on. Gail was really nice enough to write to me on Twitter and let me know that she loved the show, which is always, you know, a real thrill when someone you respect so much likes what you do. It's always kind of surprising, like, how would you ever hear about this? But I'm a big fan of her writing, and so when she came down for Comic-Con, we were really lucky to get her to come out and do a live show with us.
And we were all really bummed that couldn't go to that live show when we heard that the MP3 didn't work out and the podcast yeah. didn't happen. Because
somehow we had bad luck with engineers in the early days, losing shows and having hard drives crash.
Oh, believe me, I know. That's all right. It's so happening.
it was a huge bummer because that show was so funny, and she was great. And unfortunately, it's lost to the mists of time. But hopefully, I'll have her again if she ever comes down and ever decides to waste her time on a show that may or may not ever be released.
Well, I know talking to her, she said she had a great time. And the thing that drives me crazy is, and I wonder if you guys were able to get this out of her, she is one of the funniest internet writers that I know.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I feel like she was a little, it is hard to, I mean, not only was this just a show, but this was a show in front of 150 people.
I understood.
So, you know, I know that she was like having, not necessarily stage fright, because she's used to going out in conventions and whatever. But,
right.
But she was great. She was really great, and the show was really funny. And so I really hope she gives us another chance to actually get it right and record it this time.
There's a comedian's podcast about comics. Isn't there Comics on Comics? I don't know if you know those guys at all.
I haven't seen that one, no. But there's a lot. I mean, there's stuff like WTF with Mark Maron, where he
right.
talks to a lot of comedians. There's a lot of comedians talking to each other about each other.
Yeah, well, and I know that's true. Patton Oswalt, I know, and Doug Benson and Brian Posehn are all big fans. And, of course, Brian and Patton have both written comic books.
Yeah, Brian and Patton have both written comic books. You know, we've been trying to get our comic book put out for a while.
No kidding.
Bumps in the Road.
Oh, man, that's cool. Oh, that's fantastic. Any artists that we would know as far as people drawing
no,
for it?
I've had a bunch of artists come up to me and say they want to be involved, but really it's mainly the writing people have that we have involved are really great. I mean, we have Sarah Silverman, and you know, you mentioned Brian and Patton. They're both involved, and Zach Galifianakis, and, you know, I mean, we have so many great people who said they would contribute. It's just been really hard finding who's going to put this book out.
No, I understand that, too. Absolutely. Well, you know, maybe a digital comic, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because I have all these projects going on, unfortunately, kind of it falls by the wayside a little bit, but it is really kind of important to me to put it out at some point.
And then the internet radio station that Comedy Death Ray is on, is it purely, I mean, are there ads on this show? I mean, I've only heard the podcast, so.
Yeah, you know, we do it on Indie 103.1, but mainly it's the podcast, which I started my own podcast network with a guy named Jeff Ulrich called Earwolf. So earwolf.com, where we put out my show and we put out the Sklarbro Country Show, which is the Sklar Brothers do a sports-themed podcast. And we're going to have a bunch of new shows premiering soon. So that's kind of where you can get Comedy Death Ray Radio is earwolf.com. And there's, you know, a huge website devoted to it and with a lot of features. And you can comment on the shows and all that kind of stuff. So that's mainly where you go to get it.
And your live shows, are they at the UCB? Is that mostly where you guys do your
shows? Yeah, live shows every Tuesday at UCB. You know, it's sold out every week. Been going for 8 years. We'll have a big Christmas charity benefit again in December, which we've done for a couple of years. Last year we raised $20,000 for the LA Food Bank.
Wow, that's fantastic.
That's the live show's been going really, really well, and I'm really proud of it.
And all these other comedians as well seem to be doing their podcast from the UCB. Are you affiliated with them, or is this everybody just doing their own thing and UCB is the best place to kind of do it?
Well, you know, Doug Benson, who does the Doug Loves Movies
yep.
podcast, he tapes his actually in the Comedy Death Ray spot, meaning I do my show at 8:30 on Tuesdays, and he came to me and said, hey, do you mind if I tape my show using your audience right before it? And so
wow.
we set up a nice little thing where people come early and to get the good seats for my show to his show.
Very
and
cool.
it gave him like a sold out crowd for his podcast, which now his podcast is so popular he doesn't need to glom onto my show anymore. but it's a really nice night at the theater. If you're in LA, you come and see the Doug Love Movies podcast taping, and then you stick around for the Comedy Death Ray.
And you've been pulled in on Doug Loves Movies occasionally.
I've been on that a lot, you know. And I my friends who have great podcasts like Jimmy Pardo, Never Not Funny, that he's like sort of the originator of the comedy podcast.
Yes.
You know, I love being on his show, and I've been on WTF and Doug Loves Movies several times. So, yeah, we're all friends. We all have a great time doing each other's shows.
It's very cool, man. And it's great that you guys, as opposed to the slots that were available again before the internet, you know, I mean, there's only so many late night shows. There's only so many Byron Allen shows
yep.
and syndicated shows and things like that, those kinds of showcases to get out there. So it's great that you guys have all kind of cultivated your own thing. And again,
really awesome. I mean, you know, back in the 80s, there was too much comedy, and now.
Yes.
so it all kind of went away off of TV.
Yes.
But it's really awesome to be like, just even 5 years ago, I was with my friends going, oh, we should try to put out an album or something, like a comedy sketch album. And now I get to do it every week, you know?
Definitely.
So it's really great that the opportunity is out there for us.
Well, I hope that, you know, this kind of laboratory, you know, allows you guys to kind of do more. I want more Hugh. I definitely want more. I looked on the feed. It's Hugh Howlett. Is that his name?
Hewell Hauser.
Thank you. Hewell. Yes. Of course, I should remember. Hewell like fuel. Yes.
Insane host of California's Gold, who is amazed by everything.
I stumbled on him because I'm from Chicago, and he did a whole thing about the Cubs connection to Catalina Island. And he was, you know, of course, more than fascinated by all the different facts about the Cubs when they used to go and do spring training. And
I'm sure he found all of it amazing.
Well, I hope that, some of the, you know, maybe there's some movies out of some of these characters that you guys are starting to cultivate through the show as well.
Well, that would be good, but, you know...
Huel has sued you, of course.
But I just love doing the show, so I hope... And each week it gets more and more popular, so I'm just really really grateful that people are listening to it and seem to be really into it.
Count me among them, and I think that's terrific. And
you shall be counted.
Thank you, sir. And earwolf.com is the place to go for your network. And
iTunes and everything.
Excellent. Good luck on the expansion as it continues. And
thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Keep cranking out the great stuff, man, because a lot of funny stuff at Comedy Death Ray Radio, and Scott Aukerman, a big part of it. So thank you, sir.
Cool, buddy. Thanks so much for talking to me.
That's Scott Aukerman, the host of Comedy Death Ray. Don't forget, their performance at C2E2 is happening Friday at 6:30 till 8 at the IGN Theater. It is $10 for C2E2 ticket holders, $25 for the general public, and if you have a C2E2 VIP pass, you get in free. But Patton Oswalt is headlining, along with Dan Telfer, Joe Mandy, and Scott Aukerman. So it should be a great show. Make sure you check it out. That's Comedy Death Ray, Friday night at 6:30, right at C2E2. I'm going to tell you about our full C2E2 plans. But first, I wanted to get a chance to go through some listener voicemail. Don't forget, if you want to leave me a voicemail, ask me questions, comment on what you hear on Word Balloon, feel free to do that. The number is 312-841-7025. 312-841-7025. Let's listen to our first caller.
Hi, John. How's it going? This is Tommy from San Jose, California. I've been a listener of the Word Balloon podcast for about 2.5 years now. I discovered it on accident. I just want to say thank you very much for doing a great job and just getting these A-list guests in the comic book community and comics-related community. So keep up the good work, and it helps me get by at my office and just the long commute that I have to endure here in Northern California. I really liked the Matt Fraction interview that you did. I think it was towards the end of 2010, around Christmas time. I was a little let down. I know that you're not a big X-Men fan, but I was hoping that you would be able to have asked him some questions about his X-Men run. He got a lot of unfair trash talk from the internet community, and I actually loved his Uncanny X-Men run, and I was hoping to hear about why he decided to move the mutants onto an island and what he saw in some of the characters who he chose to put the spotlight on, and how he was able to juggle the fact that there are 200 mutants on the island. So if you do interview somebody who's who's writing an X book, I would like to suggest if you can have, readers, listeners to submit questions, being that you're not a big X-Men fan. So keep on doing what you're doing. You rock, John. Take care. Bye.
Thanks, Tommy. A couple things regarding the X-Men and Word Balloon. As you say, I am not an X-Men fan. That said, at the beginning of Fraction's run on the X-Men, we did talk about why he chose the Mutant X Island and what goes into them creating their own mutant country as opposed to Genosha. What he was planning to do with the mutant island that he created, that happened at one of our earlier Fraction fireside chats. In fact, I think it might have even been the last one before Matt and Kelly Sue had their baby, Tallulah. So you might want to check back in the archives and listen to that. As for having people ask Fraction questions specifically about the X-Men or X-Men writers when they come on. Again, we did that. I did open up the iFanboy message board. We had a thread there for Matt Fraction questions a good week before I did the interview with Matt, and there was an opportunity there to ask more X-Men questions. So I do appreciate the comments, but I thought I did have those bases covered. I did make an arrangement with iFanboy to allow them to run the questions on their site. So you just may want to keep your eyeballs over at iFanboy.com when we do have Q&As with creators. And maybe you guys can get some questions in. On to the next question.
John, it's Jeremy calling from St. Pete, Florida. Man, I just heading out to work, and I always check to see if there's a new episode up. Put it on my iPod so I can listen to you. Hours of your wonderful show. Got the Bendis and saw that you were the number one podcast. Man, good. Man, that is amazing. I just think it's great. You know, people are going to listen to your show more. More people are going to check it out. You do great interviews. I feel like I'm part of, like, it's a secret little group, and now it's been exposed, and everyone else has got to get a chance to check it out. It's kind of funny. I was thinking about that yesterday, about how, you know, like, oh, man, I turn people on that are just getting into comic books onto your show, and they just fall in love. I tell them, think of it as a free class to learn about the writing and what goes into it, and keep it up, man. I love your show. Oh, and your boxing commentary, that little bit you did, that was a flashback, I guess, that you had done something when you were younger. It was amazing. I loved it. And I highly recommend you check out The Real Johnson by Trevor Von Eaton, because you're into boxing, and it's a tragic story and biography on the late, great Jack Johnson, the boxer. Check it out. And if you can ever get Trevor Von Eaton to interview on your show, I think it would be an amazing interview, because he did one for the Sidebar guys, and that was just insane. So if you're a boxing guy, you need to get that guy on there and talk to him. Take care, man. Cheers.
Thanks, Jeremy. That's right, and I appreciate the congrats on the USA Today Top 10 Comic Book Podcast list. If you haven't seen the article, go to wordballoon.com and click on the banner on top. And Word Balloon was honored along with a bunch of our friends as Whitney Matheson's Top 10 Comic Book Podcasts, and Word Balloon was number one. That was pretty cool. As for Trevor Von Eden's Jack Johnson book, I have read it. It's excellent. Trevor Von Eden, the co-creator of Black Lightning, Tony Isabella came up with the concept, but Trevor was the first to draw him. And it's an excellent book on Jack Johnson that Von Eden did. And the guys at Sidebar did an excellent interview with him, just like Jeremy said. So do yourself a favor and check out Sidebar, the Sidebar podcast, and listen to that. And I would like to speak to Trevor at some point in the future, because he's had such an interesting career. And that Jack Johnson book really was pretty fantastic. Moving on to the next caller.
Hey, John Centris. Good to hear from you. Nice to see that you got a hotline. This is Sean Taylor. You and I, we met at New York Comic Con last year. We were right next to Neil Adams' table. We got to sort of an impromptu discussion right there. I recognized you and sort of gave a plug for the show, too, to Mr. Adams. I continue to listen in. You have great enthusiasm. I enjoyed our conversation that we had, too. Unfortunately, that was also the conversation where you actually let me know about Stephen J. Cannell passing away, which was really a bummer for me, because I was really a big fan of Rockford Files, Greatest American Hero, a lot of the great things that he's done. But anyway, during the shows that you've been doing, you've brought up some good points. One of the points that I think are kind of baffling almost is the fact about, well, it looks like our favorite, the industry, in one way or the other, may possibly be perhaps dying. I don't really want to say that, but it's definitely changing, and it's kind of funny. It's like almost an enigma, because the interest is obviously huge. The interest in comic book property, comic book stories, comic book characters is huge. I mean, comic cons, movies, they're big budget now. Comic book conventions, New York Comic Con, I mean, they open up the whole Javits Center to us. And it was more crowded than it was before they even opened it up that far, the year before. So the interest is there, but somehow there's a huge gap being created. I don't know what the answer is, but I mean, it could be as little as the accessibility of comics. I'm not too familiar about how good or bad Archie Comics are doing, but they seem to be thriving. And every time I'm at a supermarket, there's an Archie comic right there. I don't see anybody else there, just Archie. Maybe a few others, maybe a Disney comic book, but we see Archie. Whatever really happened to spinner racks at 7-Eleven? And perhaps the argument could be made that, well, they're, you know, more expensive now, but...
Thanks, Sean, and sorry, 3 minutes. That's the ceiling. But I do appreciate your call, and in fact, Sean calls back. But before he does, I want to address some of the things that he had in his first rant on the hotline. Neil Adams, yes, Sean was very helpful in letting Neil know that, you know, he loved our interview that we did back in 2005 and, you know, reminded Neil that we had a good time and Neil was very cool about it and said that he would come back. So hopefully we'll get Neil back in the months ahead. But then Sean asks if comics are dying. And as he points out, the interest in the characters are as big as ever because of the interest in conventions and how well things are doing television-wise and film-wise. And also got into, you know, why the Archies are still on newsstands and supermarket stands. I don't think comics are dying, and I think most listeners would agree. Obviously, with digital, distribution is changing, and that might get comic books in more hands than the current direct market exclusive deal. And then going back to Archie, why is it in supermarkets, and why have other comic book companies not been able to stay there? That was kind of a choice, and also partially due to the fact that comic books weren't offering different products that were a little more expensive than the monthly magazines. Whereas Archie always had the digests, which were priced higher, continue to be, but it's an affordable thing that you can have on the supermarket rack, but also a returnable item, much like a book, in case they don't sell. So, you know, Archie was able to create a product that would still, you know, work on the supermarket aisles. Plus, the characters that they have, they're very kid-friendly and kid-safe. So, you know, it was always good, wholesome entertainment, whereas maybe comic books might have been seen as being too violent. I do see comics at the occasional 7-Eleven still, as far as the spinner racks, and certainly I've seen them in places like Borders and Barnes & Noble's on spinner racks. But I just don't think that that's the right place for, you know, the comic product, you know, as far as being in brick and mortar stores. I do think that trades are the way to go, and that's why they're doing so well in bookstores. And again, with the digital conversion that's going on, I think comics will have a home. That might mean that some companies are going to have to pare back on titles, and you're going to see fewer titles and stuff. I just don't think comics are going to go away. Some of the smaller companies might go away, but that's been happening for decades. And I certainly wish no ill on the current crop of, for a lack of better words, second-tier publishers. But let's not forget that Eclipse isn't with us anymore like they were in the 80s. Valiant isn't with us anymore like they were in the 90s. CrossGen got absorbed by Disney, and we are seeing them now. A few titles come back. But they had to exit mid-decade about 5 years ago. So, you know, nothing lasts forever in publishing, and that's been the case. You can go back to the Golden Age and companies like Crestwood and St. John's and Nader, Prize Comics, all very big names back in the 40s, disappeared by the mid-50s. So who's to say who's going to survive and who's going to fail? I think there'll always be a Disney and, or I should say DC and Marvel due to the strength of their characters. But some of these other second tier companies, that's why you might see them jumping faster to digital and, you know, doing more experimentation than, what DC and Marvel are willing to do initially. But I do think that comics will continue, and I think that the readership is big enough that it will still continue, even in these low points that we might be currently suffering through. Okay. Well, Sean got cut off. Let's see what else he has to say.
Oh, sorry, John. I didn't know it was so time, so I'll try to make this a shorter. It got cut off there. So let me get back to one of the other points that I wanted to make is you touched on something really, really important also, and I heard in the last Jeff Parker interview that you had, and you said that you're doing these shows for several reasons, but one outstanding reason was that you want to have a historical record of all these great comic book creators that we have still with us, to have them, and that they're assets to our great hobby. It would be so cool to have what's called, perhaps, I don't know, a Pioneers or Comic Book Founding Fathers series, where you go back and maybe you can find Joe Simon or Stan Lee or, I mean, all those guys, and even honorary Founding Fathers. Like, we know that, say, Neil Adams, we were talking about that. Get him back on the show. That was a fantastic show you did. I think it was in 06. It could have kept going, and I would love to continue hearing more about those things, about those turning points and the way our favorite comic book hobby was created, and it has grown since. But anyway, just want to again give you a great big thumbs up. You're doing a fantastic job. I love your enthusiasm. Keep up the good work, and thanks a lot. All right, bye-bye.
Okay, another interesting point. Thanks, Sean. And as always, thank you for the compliments as well. Doing a Pioneer series on Word Balloon, I will do my best to, as my schedule allows, because I do still have a day job, and I do want to talk about new books as much as old books, but I do want to get more older creators on to talk about their work and really get a firsthand perspective from them of what it was like working in the various decades that they have. I think that's important. You know, the recent Jack Kirby estate lawsuit that's going on with Marvel and Disney. If you haven't seen it, there are very interesting transcripts that you can find at Rich Johnston's site, Bleeding Cool, and he will link to a blog where they have the specific depositions of not only on Marvel's behalf from John Romita and Larry Lieber and Stan Lee and Roy Thomas, but also on Kirby's behalf, Mark Evanier. And what's very interesting is, and the judge is the first to point it out, Mark is telling these stories secondhand from conversations he had with Jack, but Mark really wasn't there. And I think that a lot of these, even these depositions, when you read them, are open to interpretation. And I think it's very important to actually hear the tone and what is said by the creator while they're still around to really get a good understanding of what was going on. I think that a lot of people that write about comics and talk about comics make a lot of presumptive judgments based on just really supposition on their part. You know, they're looking backwards and saying, well, things must have gone a certain way. And I think when you speak to the actual creators, you find that's not the case. I've been talking a lot about those conversations that Will Eisner has been having. I've been talking a lot about the conversations that Will Eisner had for his Shop Talk book. And when you listen to the tapes, you hear a very different example of how things went in the Golden and Silver Age, even up to the 70s and 80s with the direct comic market. Phil Suling is one of the people that Will Eisner talks about. And as the direct market is winding down, it's important to realize why it started. And Phil is the man who was one of the chief people who began the direct market, and you understand exactly the perspective of one of the guys who helped create it and what fostered this business and how it changed things and moved from the newsstand to the direct market. So, you know, perspective is a very important thing. I'm a big believer when it comes to history. You won't learn from history's mistakes unless you learn history properly. How do we know where we're going if we don't know where we've been? It's that simple. So I'm a big believer in that, and I will do my best to include more Silver and Golden Age interviews as I can and as they can to get a good idea of how things went. But there are wonderful you know, articles and other transcripts, both video and audio. You just got to search. I mean, the internet's a wonderful thing, and I'm certainly not doing this by myself. And there's really great sources out there. You'd be surprised what you can find if you search YouTube and just even Google some guys' names and interviews, some of the great audio and video that you might find to give you a better idea of how things really went. But as always, Sean, thank you very much for your call. And again, if you'd like to join the conversation, feel free to leave me a message at the Word Balloon Hotline, 312-841-7025. Now, on to C2E2. It's this weekend. We're very excited about what's going on at C2E2. And finally, I've got something to share with you. So I've decided to take a table at Podcast Alley. That's right. We're right opposite of Artist Alley, way at the far end of our Artist Alley. But we are parallel to several of the rows. You can't miss it. And there'll be a big Word Balloon banner right there. I'll be there with my friends from Comic Geek Speak and the Comic Book Queers and iFanboy and Around Comics and 11 O'Clock Comics. And I'll also be doing some live Word Balloon interviews at the podcasting table, because some people are going to want to do it at their own table in Artist Alley or over by the publisher booths because they might be short for time. Some guys want to get away from their table for a second, so we're welcoming them to come to Podcast Alley and do some short interviews. But it's going to be great. Among the people coming, Fred Van Lente and Ryan Dunleavy, some of my comic Chicago creator friends like Jill Thompson and Will Pfeiffer will be along. I'm even trying to coax a couple of our good friends that do regular Word Balloon questions and answers. From you, the Word Balloon listener. So there might be some impromptu fireside chats or tapes of a variety. Let's just leave it at that. I think your imagination will follow in terms of who might be showing up in Podcast Alley, schedule permitting. So hopefully that will be happening and making sense. But definitely several interviews. I can't give you specific times on those. What I suggest you do is if you follow me on Twitter, under John Wordballoon or at Facebook. I'll be making daily updates and telling you, you know, as quickly as possible when those things are happening. So keep your Twitter account alive if you're roaming the aisles. And it's free Wi-Fi, as I understand it, in the West Wing of McCormick Place. So it should be easy to find out what's going on at the Wordballoon table in Podcast Alley. In addition to that, I'm selling Wordballoon T-shirts. That's right, Wordballoon T-shirts. My good friend Tim Seeley, wonderful artist, the creator of Hackslash, the great G.I. Joe artist, just did that great Ant-Man and the Wasp miniseries for Marvel. Well, Tim has come up with a great design for a Wordballoon T-shirt, and it's debuting at C2E2. We've got a limited supply, but we do have all sizes available. If for some reason you want one, because we're going to also offer it through the website, and right now as we speak, there's a picture of what the Wordballoon logo looks like. If you'd like one, I will have a way of being able to order online, but we will have shirts available at C2E2 as well. So I hope you'll come by and support the program and pick up a T-shirt. And, of course, I'll be at the podcasting panel on Friday night. Now, that's happening at 6:30, the podcasting panel. And, boy, I'll tell you, they put us up with against some competition. The DC Nation and half of the X-Men panel are going on. So if you're a listener of Wordballoon, it's not a conflict with the X-Men panel, but DC Nation might be an issue. 6:30 to 7:30, the podcasting panel. It's going to be a good discussion, though. I think we've been doing these panels long enough that we're moving away from the how-to portion of the program and really getting into just a good live debate. I mean, a lot of us like to talk, obviously, hence we have podcasts, and it's about time. I enjoyed what we did in San Diego and thought we had some very interesting discussions about where things are going comic book wise, and I think the collection of people we have are going to be as fun, if not more fun, and we might get into some good arguments there, and I think entertaining arguments, nothing personal, just a lot of fun, but it should be great. The podcasting panel is happening Friday night at 6:30 at C2E2. I hope to see you there. Don't forget, today's show was brought to you by C2E2, the Chicago Comics and Entertainment Expo that's happening at McCormick Place this weekend, March 18th through the 20th. I just told you a bunch of things that Wordballoon is doing at C2E2. In addition to that, come out and meet your favorite comic creators. They're all going to be there. Gail Simone, Brian Michael Bendis, Matt Fraction, Jeff Loeb, Scott Snyder, the great writer of Detective Comics, Tony Daniel, the great Batman writer, Adam Hughes, Angel Medina, Hilary Barda, great comic creators, writers and artists, publishers. Joe Quesada is going to be there. Dan DiDio is going to be there. It should be a great show, and it's all happening this weekend downtown Chicago at McCormick Place. For transportation details, hotel information, you name it, you can find it on their website, c2e2.com. But join us. I think it's going to be a great weekend. Chicago Comics and Entertainment Expo. We are days away. Can't wait for it to start. It starts this Friday, and hope to see you there. Friday from 1 until 7:30, I believe, is the schedule on the floor. And then Saturday, it's 10 to 6, Sunday, 10 to 5. It's going to be a lot of fun. The Chicago Comics and Entertainment Expo, C2E2, number 2, happening this weekend at Chicago's McCormick Place. That'll do it for this edition of Wordballoon. Thanks again for listening. John Suntress reminding you that if you want to ask me any questions or comments about Wordballoon, you can do it via email, john@wordballoon.com. Make sure you come to our website, wordballoon.com, where we have fresh episodes and interesting posts. Every now and then I find a neat video to pop up there as well. You can also follow me on Facebook under my name, John Suntress. And don't forget, every Tuesday we have a new episode at ifanboy.com. Until next time, thanks for listening. Wordballoon is a copyright feature of Shaky Productions, copyright 2011.